Chapter 10, Gospel of John, and the chapter 10. It's one of my favorite texts, is the Gospel of John, and especially John chapter 10. So I hope the Lord would bless you tonight, and as a result of you being here, hope the Lord bless you. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at John chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 22, probably down to verse 31. Everybody got that? John chapter 10, 22 down to the verse 31. I think you'll enjoy this text. I've taught through, like I said, I've told you a million times, but I've taught through all the books. I haven't taught through all the Old Testament. But I have taught through all the New Testament in my tenure here over the years. And the Gospel of John has always been one of my favorite books to teach through. It's always been a blessing and an encouragement. And so we'll just go ahead and get into what we're going to cover. We're going to cover, like I said, John 10, 22 through 31. And what we'll do is we'll work down through this text, John 10, 22 through 31, okay? It says in verse 22, it was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication. Does anybody know what that is? That's Hanukkah. That's exactly right. And it was called the Feast of Dedication. And you notice what time of the year it was. It was winter. If I remember right, that was on the 25th, I believe, of December, I believe. Now, I might be wrong, but it's been some time since I looked at some of those days, but I believe it was. If I'm wrong, just act like I was right, I guess, and just keep right on rolling. But no, I'm just teasing you. But this was a special time for them. They considered it a feast day, and they would enjoy this particular day, and they would remember how the Lord delivered them out of the hands of the Greeks. And see, that's who they were battling with at this particular time, and God did indeed deliver them in a mighty way, and that's one of the things that they would celebrate at that particular time. It says Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, the Christos, the Messiah, tell us plainly." And that's what they're trying to do. Really, the only thing they want to do, no matter what he said, they were going to cause problems with him. Of course, Jesus was plainly the Messiah. Many people said no one could do the miracles you do except God be with him. Nobody did the miracles that Jesus did. I believe it, he raised the dead of three different people, if I remember right. He was able to do some of the most tremendous miracles that has ever been done on this old earth. He had great power, and he was able to do great things. And if just go ahead and look down. He said, "If thou be the Christ, tell us what plainly." Now, like I said, they would have found fault no matter what he said. Sometimes when I've experienced this before. Sometimes there's people that want to argue, and no matter what you say, they'll still keep right on arguing. And I've seen that happen before. Sometimes there's good arguments and good debates that you really need to go in. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. If all someone wants to do is quarrel, I don't fool with them. If all they want to do is quarrel and complain and start trouble, I don't fool with it. I just say, well, okay, you think your way, I guess, and if you want to know a little bit more about what I believe about the text, we'll sit down and talk about it. But many times people don't want to know. Have you ever met anybody like that? They just absolutely don't want to know. And if someone wants to know, you should know where to take them to in the Scriptures and what to say to them in the Scriptures. You shouldn't have to go get your pastor to explain what you believe about the Bible. Y'all agree about that? You shouldn't have to go get somebody to tell, go ahead, Jeff, tell them what I believe. No, you should know what you believe, and you should know Scripture and verse what you believe, and you should be able to defend it, all of us. And I think that's true. We do that constantly to try to reaffirm, because we want you to believe what you believe because you see it in the Scriptures. And when you see it in the Scriptures, that gives you convictions. Now, I have convictions about what I believe. I do, strong convictions about that. And I think people need to have that. I think they should be able to look at the Scriptures and know what is true and know what is false, especially if you have children, because you're their trainer. You're the one that teaches them. And we want them to be able to understand why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe. So I think that's important, that all of our church would know how to defend what the doctrinal statements and what the teachings of Scriptures do indeed say. Years back, I was an arguer. I loved to quarrel. I did. I was like that at one time until I figured out it didn't help any. All it did was cause trouble. But after a while, what would happen is changed. And I thought, man, I need to, I'm trying to win an argument. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to win an argument right here. I'm going to run this right down his throat and win this argument. And what good's that do? Usually all that does is make somebody mad anyhow. They're not going to listen to you if you go in that kind of condition, really. You know the Bible says to speak the truth in what? Y'all remember? Speaking the truth in love. Now, what happens when people get in a big debate and argument and quarrel? You ever see anybody? You ever see two Christian people out at the mall somewhere or in a supermarket somewhere, and they get to talking and they get it loud and they get quarrelsome? What good did that do? And here you watch these lost people that are saying, look at these Christians fighting around in front of everybody. That's a horrible testimony, don't you agree? So it's very, very important that you defend, that you be able to share it with people, but do it in a good way and in an honest way. And take it from me, over the years, I've did it in the wrong way before. I've done it just to win an argument. And even after, and I felt I won the argument, but it never convinced the person. And they never convinced them because too much arrogance in there. You do it in a good way, and you want them to see it. And what I've started doing with regard to that is I'd say, now right here is what I believe about this, and I tell you what I'll do. I'll write the Scriptures for you. Here's a Scripture. Let's use the illustration of eternal security. Here's eternal security, and here's your 10 verses of Scripture. You go home and ask God first. Don't come back and ask me again. You ask God first, and then you look up the Scriptures, and you see whether or not it's so. And you do it in a good way. How many of you have ever done it in a bad way? We didn't get a lot of people here tonight, but how many has ever done it in a bad way? Well, we have. We got mad and get red in the face, and all it did was make both sides mad, so it really doesn't work that way. Again, the Bible says, speak the truth in love, in kindness, and that's how we're supposed to do it, okay? All right, now let's move on down through this wonderful text. Remember, it's the Feast of Dedication. and it was winter. And usually the feast of dedication was on the 25th of December. So this is the winter time here. It says, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt if thou be the Christ or the Christos? Tell us plainly." Well, he had told them plainly a lot. He had showed them many miracles. He took 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish and fed thousands of people, not counting women and children. I mean, they seen the great miracles that he has done, but yet at the same time, they never believed on him. They never trusted in him. So Jesus said, "I told you." He tells them, "I told you. I told you. And ye believed what?" Ye believed not. He knowed their hearts. They've just coming there for a what? They coming for a quarrel. So he said, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Now he points them to the works that he did. That'd be a good place to go, wouldn't it? I mean, look at all the miracles he did. Like I said, I believe it was 3 people he raised from the dead, and the numbers of people that he healed. It was just unbelievable the things that he did. But despite all that they saw and all the evidence of his power, they still never believed on him. Does anybody know why? There's one word that could define that for you. They were dead. They were dead in trespasses. The scripture says, dead in trespasses and in sins. They were just like a spiritual corpse. They were a spiritual corpse. They heard it from the greatest minister that ever walked this planet, the sweet King, the Lord Jesus, and all the miracles that he did, they saw. Yet, they did not believe. Why didn't they believe? They're dead. Dead as a doornail. They had no spiritual life. And you know, before I was born again, you know what I was? I was dead. Stewie, you was dead. Everybody sitting back there was dead before you were born again. But what the Lord does when he saves a sinner like you and me is he makes you what? Alive. And the Bible calls that quickened. He made me alive one day, and I realized that I was a sinner, and I had a desire in my heart to be saved. Nobody pulled me forward. Nobody tricked me or anything of that nature. I just seen that it was true. And he opened my heart, and then I understood the gospel, and I asked the Lord to save me, and that changed my whole world from that point forward. I want to tell you a little something about this. If it don't change you, there's something wrong with it. Did you hear what I said? If it don't change you, there's something wrong with it. I look for a change in people. I've seen a lot of people, man, my tenure here, 40 years, I've seen a lot of people make professions of faith, and they get on a roll and they do good for a while, then they go right back in the world and do the same things they did before. There was no change. They continued in that old lifestyle that they lived before, but there was no what? There was no change. Beloved, we realize you're not saved by your works, but we also realize that when someone's born again, it's going to change how you live. That's why he said old things pass away and all things becomes what? New. And if you ain't new, or if people ain't new, there's something wrong with it. There's something bad wrong with it. You'll be different when you're born again. You won't be the same as you was before. And people will be able to see it. And who does that bring glory to? Oh, yeah, it brings glory to the Lord when people see the change in somebody's life. Okay? All right. Let's look down at verse 25 again. Jesus answered and said, I told you and you believe not. He told them that he was the Christ. I mean, he told them. They act like he hadn't told them before, but the very works that he did proved that he was the Messiah. He said, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me. All right, I want everybody to look at verse 26. Everybody get looking at verse 26. Why did they not believe? That's my question to their congregation tonight. Why did they not believe? Yeah, that's exactly right. That's 100% right. They didn't believe because they were not what? Not sheep. They weren't sheep. They didn't truly know the Lord then, did they? They weren't sheep. When you're a sheep, old things pass away, all things become new. You're different. You're new. You're different. You have a different life. But he said, you don't believe because you're not of my sheep. That means they weren't real. He was probably dealing with people that he... See, the Lord, you can imagine talking with the Lord. He knew your heart. There was no way they could lie to him. Because he knew their hearts. And many times, the people that he talked to pretended to be saved, but really weren't. They really weren't, okay? You believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you. Now, I love verse 27. It's one of my favorite texts. Notice what it says here. My sheep, what do they do? They hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. Amen. You know how you know a true sheep? Sheep follow. Okay? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. What else do they... What does sheep do? They follow. I have trouble with folks that make a profession and have no desire to follow the shepherd. I have trouble with that. I don't like that. I just think when someone's born again, they're going to have a desire to follow the shepherd. And if they don't have a desire to follow the shepherd, isn't there something wrong there somewhere? Man, I want to follow him. I want to be where he's at. I want to go to where he's at. So, what do sheep do? Notice what it says. The Lord's sheep, what do they do? It says they're going to hear my voice. The day you was born again, everybody here tonight saved. The day you was born again, that's when you heard his voice. It wasn't a literal voice coming down out of heaven, but he spoke to your heart. And he spoke and opened your understanding. And he opened your heart. Remember Lydia, the seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened? To open your heart is to open your understanding. That's what he did to me. So I heard his voice. It wasn't an audible voice out of heaven, but he spoke to my heart. And I knowed I needed to be saved. I knowed I couldn't continue on the route I was going. So I trusted Jesus. And not only did I know, look back at 57, my sheep hear my voice. What's he say about them again? I know them. What else do they do? I didn't hear you. What else do they do? They follow me. Beloved, I have trouble with someone that claims to know the shepherd that don't follow him. I've seen a lot of that in 40 years of pastoring. I know them. They follow me. Amen. They will. And you don't, you don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. You don't drive them, you lead them. See. A child of God don't have to be driven to follow the shepherd. Y'all agree? Amen. You don't have to be pushed and prodded and burped and things to get them to come to get them to serve the Lord. They have a desire to follow. I want to follow him. I want to follow him all the way till I get done with this life. And then I'm going to go off to be with him in glory. All God's people say it. I look forward to that. Isn't that great? So my sheep hear my voice. I know them. What else do they do? They follow me. And that's talking about the shepherd. That's what the shepherd does. They follow the shepherd. They want to be with him. They want to be with him. They want to be with him. All right, let's go back down here to verse 26. But if ye believe not, because they're not what again? They're not of my sheep. I want you to keep remembering that. They believe not because they're not of my sheep. What does my sheep do? My sheep hear my voice. That's the voice of the shepherd. That's the voice of the Lord. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. What does the sheep do now? They follow the shepherd. They follow the shepherd. I've talked to people before, and you know, preachers probably get in more talks than anybody, but there's been times when I've talked to people, and I said, are you saved? They said, yes. But you're not following the shepherd. What's wrong with that? Is this just for a bit? I've never seen you have any hunger for the scriptures. I've never seen you have any desire to witness to anybody or to tell people about Christ. I don't see none of that. So that's what he's saying here in the text. My sheep will hear my voice and I'll know them. And what will they do? They will follow. They don't have to drive a sheep. Not one of the Lord's sheep. They'll do it because they love him. All God's people say it. They will do it because they love him. And it's important for people to do it that way. All right, let's move down to verse 28. I got to turn my page. I forgot to turn my page here. So look down at verse 28. Now, this is one of my favorite verses. I don't know. I've done put 5,000 different sermons on my... What I always say, I'm gonna put this on my cemetery, you know, lot right down here or something. But this is one of those verses I really like. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. Now here's 28, here's the one I'm after. I give unto them what? Hey, everybody look at me just for a second. How long's eternal life? Y'all agree? How long's eternal life? Hey, what's the greatest thing you got? Eternal life. That's what I have. If I die today, I still got eternal life. Isn't it wonderful to have eternal life? The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. It isn't something you earn on your own. It's a gift purchased by Jesus Christ. And I got it right now. I got it right now. Jeff Arthur has eternal life. I'm going to live forever. Now, they might put my body in the ground. They may do that. But I won't be there. Y'all understand that? I won't be there. I'll be with them. When I go visit my pop down at the cemetery, when I leave, I'm like, he ain't even here. I just like to go down there because, you know, that's where, you know where I like to go? You know what I call that, don't you? Y'all remember what I call cemetery? It's Resurrection Ground. It's Resurrection Ground. They gonna be one of these days. I might walk down there one of these days and be down there praying or something or you know, walking around and, you know, like you do when you go down there. And the Lord might let out the shout and come down. And we'll all go up, won't we? We'll all go up. Man, what a day that'll be. That's why we sing that song. My sheep will hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. I don't know how you can get by that. You just have to ignore it. Eternal life is eternal life. The day you trusted Jesus, that's everlasting life. Everlasting life. Now, I know there's people that make professions of faith and never change. But there, in those situations, I think there's something wrong with their hearts. They will be a change when someone's born again. So he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never what? Now, see, that's why I believe in eternal security. It says, I give them eternal life. How long's that?
Forever.
Isn't that forever? And they shall never what?
Perish.
They'll never perish. That means they'll never go to hell. That's basically what it means. They'll never go to hell. They'll never perish in hell. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Now, every one of us here tonight, whose hand are we in? It says the Lord's, doesn't it? Neither shall any. Now, I didn't say any man. It's any. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. That's Satan, hell, all of its angels can pluck you out of his hand. All God's people said. That's being born again. That's being saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
So my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, I give to them eternal life. They're never going to do what? They're never going to perish. They're never going to go to hell. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. We're in God's hands. Whew. We're in God's hands. Isn't that a wonderful text?
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful text? That's security, isn't it? That's joy, isn't it? Man, we got a glorious future ahead. And it's going to get nothing but better as the future goes down, you know. All right, let me wind it up. I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Now watch here. My Father, which gave them me. The Father gave His Son to pay our sin debt on Calvary. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
That's how much He loved us. That's how much He loved us. My Father, which gave them me. Which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You talk about good hands with Allstate. This is the best hands you can get. Oh, my, watch it now. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now watch this now. Are you ready? Verse 30. I and my Father are what?
One.
I and my Father are one. I've told you this before. You ever throw a frog on a girl? You ever do that? Huh? If you want to, you know, if you really want to throw a frog on a girl, you put it in your hand like this. But if you have it in your hand like this, what's the frog going to do? It's going to jump out, ain't it? I and my Father are one. And that means we are kept by the power of God. Look at that, man. That's security. That's why I believe in security. You're in the Father's hand. You're in the Son's hands. And I and my Father are what?
One.
All God's people say it.
Amen.
All right. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention tonight. Thank you for coming out. Good to have you here.